As the Lord shall help me, friends, I will draw your attention to the passage we read in Exodus chapter 31. Exodus and the chapter 31. Now Moses was with God up Mount Sinai. It was near the start of the wilderness journeys of the people of God. God had brought them out from Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea. They were journeying through the wilderness with God's promise of future before them or upon them. And they had a resting time at Mount Sinai. The reason for this was that God called Moses to come up the mount, and God would come and meet with Moses as Moses went to meet with him. It would be for over 1 month. It would be a long time that Moses was up the mount. And the purpose for Moses going up the mount was that God might give divine instruction for the people of God. Bear in mind that there were over 2 million of them. There were a lot of them journeying through the wilderness, and they needed divine direction, personally and collectively. And so God called Moses up the mountain. He didn't say to Moses, "You're an intelligent man, get on with it and lead these people through." Moses was an intelligent man, very intelligent. But God says, "You come up and I'll tell you the way you should govern things, and I'll tell you how you should order it for the people of God." And so divine instruction was given to Moses for the people who were journeying through the wilderness. Now, they needed instruction, and so do we. God could have left them to do their own thing. Like people are encouraged to do today. And what confusion there is. What confusion. And if God had left them to do their own thing, there would have been utter confusion in the wilderness. You know, when this nation was a great nation, and it was far more blessed than it is being blessed today, was when the Bible, you've often heard this, the Bible was an open book in our nation, in schools, and little children learnt, and they were brought up to it. And one thing which they realized was that there's a book here which tells us things that otherwise we would not know, and instruct us as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But now the nation doesn't need the Bible, because it's so wise it can think out its own ways. And look at the mess we're in. Just as the children of Israel would have been in a mess if they'd been left to go their own way. But God says, "No, I'm going to instruct you, Moses, and you will instruct the people my way. And then they will be blessed." They needed direction. And there are similarities that we have been considering on the Lord's Day in the morning between God's dealing with his ancient people and his dealings with us, who are his redeemed people today. Remember the great similarity, and I obviously can't go through all the similarities, because it would take too much time. But there are certain ones that stand out. There's a similarity with the fact that they were a redeemed people by blood. You've often heard it, and you will often hear it. that the true Christian religion is a blood religion, my friend. It's a blood religion. And if blood doesn't feature in your religious life, you're not a Christian. After all, did not the Lord Jesus shed his blood at the cross that poor sinners might be cleansed from their sin? And these people, they were redeemed by applied blood, shed blood. And there's a similarity between them and us. They had a blood religion and so do we. Thank God. They were delivered from the bondage of darkness and unbelief. The state that they were in compared with the state that they are now in as they go through the wilderness. It was such a miserable state. They called on the Lord, have mercy upon us. And he came and met with them and he got them out of it. Just as he's done for his people now. Got them out of that awful state of unbelief and darkness that they were in. And you believers have been delivered. Very favored from the bondage of darkness and unbelief. They also had the knowledge of God as the true God to be their God, which, as we've seen, is the most wonderful aspect of life, my friends. Man is without hope, without God. What a sad state to be in. I was speaking to a man not long ago, and he said to me, "Well, I'm an atheist." I said, "You poor man." A man who's living, groveling here, getting on with his life, and he says there's no God. What a state the man is in. What a state he's in. And you know, the people around Israel in these days, they had idol gods. That's a sad state in, to be worshipping an idol. A sad state to be in. But the people of God had Jehovah, Yahweh, the true God, as their God, and they knew it. And that's a similarity between God's people today. There's no one of the Lord's redeemed people who will say there is no God. Not one of them. Because the Lord has said, "I will be a God unto thee." That's what he said. "And thou shalt be my people." Dear believer, I say, I'm reminding you of this. They were blessed. There were lots of things they lacked, but they were blessed in this, that they knew that they had the true God as their God. We saw also that they were aware of his love, because he told them that he loved them. And God's people today are aware that the Lord loves them. "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Now that's something, my friends, isn't it? That's a similarity we have between us. And they were also aware of his concern for them. Read your Bibles. We've been going through this in the afternoon service with the children. That they were aware as they journeyed that God was concerned for them. Evident. And God's people today know that this great God is concerned for them in everything. They also knew that this God was the one who cared for them. He was concerned for them and he cared for them. They knew it. Evident. They knew that he was the God who promised to guide them. So as they journeyed through the wilderness, where are you going? What's going to happen to you in the future? We don't know, we don't know. But he knows. And he's guiding us. Come on, come on. The Lord is guiding us, come on. And today, "I will guide thee with my counsel," he says. The Lord's people have that similarity, that he's promised to guide them. And they had a rich promise for a rich future before them. They weren't just going from day to day to day to day with nothing beyond. Just as the Lord's people now, know that he will guide them with their counsel and afterwards receive them to glory. They have a rich promise to encourage them as they journey through life, that they're going to be forever with the Lord. A similarity between them. Last week, we heard together of the words of Jesus when he said, "The Sabbath was made for man." And this was a blessing to them, as I mentioned last week. One of the benefits they had, that God gave them the Sabbath. If he hadn't done that, my friends, they would have gone on day by day by day. 7 days of it, then another 7 days of it. Oh, I am weary, weary. Another week going by. Don't you ever think you would like a day off, friend? Yes, I wish we could have a day off from it. The Lord gave them the gift of the Sabbath. And not wondering when the next one would come, 6 days. One day between every six of journey. And they were very blessed. And God's people are blessed today. The Lord knows the need. He knew their need. He knows our need. We need six and then a different day. Six and then a different day. And the Lord also knew the benefit of it. And how did he know the benefit? Because he made them. Just as he made you, my friend. And as he's made you, he knows how you best will operate. By working six and resting one, he knew that's how you would best operate. Benefit, rest of 1 day in seven. Now in our text here, Exodus 31, verses 16, 17. "Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath." This is, they were at the foot of Mount Sinai now, you see, and God is speaking to Moses to tell them what he should impart to them. So Exodus 31, 16, 17, "Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Beautiful words. God's rule for Israel at the early part of their journey. And a rule for everyone. I'm a believer that God's law is for everyone on the face of the earth. If people want to live right, then it's God's law to direct them. And especially for believers, God's people, as a law for them. Sabbath law, not a take it or leave it, but it's laid down for them. Laid down for them. God's ruling for Israel and for everyone, and especially for believers. Especially for believers. And you notice verse 17 that God speaks as an example. Verse 17 of Exodus 31 in your Bibles. "For in 6 days," verse 17, "the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Now the Lord is accommodating his language to encourage these people. It doesn't hinder us from believing in a God who's always the same. And his days fail not. That's how he is. But he is reminding them that he made heaven and earth in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days. And what did he do the day after? He rested and was refreshed. And he's saying this to the dear people so that they might say, well, if that was so for the Lord, it ought to be so for us. Blessed be God, it's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested. And because he rested, he was refreshed. So God speaks through an example. What was good for him is good for us. That's the example. The Lord. And when the Lord Jesus came to live here upon earth, he went to the synagogue as was his wont on the Sabbath day. Good for him. Now this word rest in Exodus 31, verse 17. On the seventh day he rested. I want to give you four renderings from the Hebrew in this word to show you, bring out the clarity of what it means. On the seventh day he rested. It has the thought of he left it. He left it. In the old days you could go into a workshop and you could see on the Lord's day, you look in the window, that there are things around. They'd been working on Saturday and then they came to the point where they left it. They left it until Monday morning. And so this word rest has the thought of leaving it. A similar rendering, to cease from it. They ceased from what they were doing right up to the beginning of the Sabbath. Another rendering is similar. Let's cease. Let's cease what's been occupying for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let it cease now. And the other rendering is again similar. Make it to cease. Make what you've been doing through 6 days to cease. And that's in this word rest. Verse 17 of Exodus 31. And on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. It's bound to be the result. It's bound to be the result. If a man ceases for the Sabbath and then takes it up again the next day, that man is going to be rested and refreshed. Refreshed. The Lord's day, properly understood and obeyed and kept, is bound to bring refreshment. And so they were better able to begin again. God's people going through the wilderness, the day after the Sabbath, they were better able to go because they've been refreshed the day before. Now let me remind you, as you often heard, friends, that Satan is opposed to everything which is of God. Satan is opposed to everything which is of God. And that's why he will convince people that they can keep going 7 days a week. They don't need to rest at all. And that rest doesn't mean that you don't do anything. It means you do something different from what you've been doing. So Satan opposes. And we understand. The devil is an opposer. But God, in verse 17, first of all, he speaks for our example, for God's people to be wise. Now, just as an addendum, remember there are works of mercy and necessity. We are not in bondage, as we saw last week. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man's good. For man's good. To do him good on the Lord's day. And secondly, as he says in verse 17, it is a sign. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel. As though God looked down from heaven and he saw them in the wilderness resting. And God was pleased. That was a sign that they were the people of God. The Philistine nations were busy doing their own thing. They didn't rest. These people were resting. And God said it's a sign. The Lord's people submissive to the Lord. The Lord's people obedient to the Lord. The Lord's people honorable before the Lord. Why do God's people rest? Because it's honorable before the Lord. Going back to what I was saying earlier, I'm reminding you of in our nation, when the nation used to shut up. The nation used to shut up. Everything was shut down on this day. And the nation was better for it. Without a doubt, the nation was better for it. One little bondage in those days was that you couldn't buy anything. You may remember, friends, that years and years and years ago, I was deputed here to go to that little village shop that we had in the village here. It's not open anymore. Because the woman was opening on the Lord's Day. And so I had a talk with the woman. And so she said, well, Mrs. So-and-so then can't have 2 ounces of ham for her tea. I said, of course she can. She can buy it on Saturday evening. And she didn't like me for saying it. Her idea was I open my shop and if she feels she'd like a couple of ounces of ham, she can come over and get it on the Lord's Day. It's a nonsensical argument. And she could see it. And mercifully she started to close the little shop on the Lord's Day. You know, it's a blessed thing to shut down. And it was not a bondage in those days when all the shops shut down and you couldn't buy anything on the Lord's Day. You had 6 days to do all your purchasing. You didn't need another day to do your purchasing. But of course, they were days when there was more fearing of God in the nation than there is today. Now the Lord tells us in his text, verse 17, it's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. A manifest sign that they're submissive unto me. A mark, verse 16 of the covenant. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath through their generations, for a perpetual covenant, an agreement between us, a covenant of grace, agreement between us, a mark of the covenant, that there are covenant children in the covenant. And in verse 13, it's a mark of being sanctified. It's a sign between me and you through your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. A mark of being sanctified, which means to be set apart for the Lord, the Lord's children. Now from this we can see that the Lord is speaking like this. I want to see evidence in your life that you're in the covenant. You're mine. And as I look down in the wilderness as they journey, on the Sabbath day they rest. Yes, that's right. That's a mark that they're the people that I sanctify. And now as he sees believers closing down for the Sabbath, he says, that's a mark with that person, a mark with that person, that they're among my redeemed ones, sanctified by me. Sanctified. Set apart, the Lord's children. Now remember that the Sabbath day brings reward to individuals. Last week, Sabbath was made for man. It brings a reward. The Lord rewards those that honor him in the matter. Remember this, if the devil tempts you, you dear young friends, to treat the Lord's day like any other day. Do bear this in mind, that the Lord rewards individuals that keep it. He rewards families that keep this day. He rewards businesses that keep this day. He rewards, as we saw, countries that keep this day. A blessed day. But I said just now that Satan opposes it. And I think Satan is laughing. This nation which once closed down, now shops open and all sorts of things going on. Down at the coast, people doing things that are quite legitimate to do, but not on the Sabbath. Things going on today. God frowns. He frowns. Because they're having a good time down at the beach. He doesn't frown about their having a good time Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He doesn't frown about that. But when they start doing it on this day, they have a frown from the Almighty. And I believe this nation has a frown from the Lord on this particular. That they are not concerned of the covenant and the sanctifying work of God in their minds and hearts, whereby they seek to honor him and obey him. But may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us in these things and give us wisdom. As the Lord Jesus was saying to us last week, Sabbath was made for man's good. I say again, not to put us in bondage that we are afraid to do any mortal thing. No, no, it's not like that at all. But it's just that there should be a closing down process from the things that we normally do in our workaday week. Well, we remind ourselves of these things again today because we are seeing the similarities between God's ancient people and us. And from our reading, you would realize that he said to Moses, it's most important that they keep this day. He says in the Old Testament and up in the New, it's most important that they keep this day. And if they do keep the day, I will bless them for it. That's what he was saying, and he says it now. Now, when I was young, it would go without saying because everybody in the country did it. But not so today, my friends, sadly. May God help us to be those that seek to honor the Lord on this day of days.